The earnings from Texas Instruments were better than expected. Of course, the bar had probably been set pretty low, but revenues beat. The earnings were a dime better than expected. The stock's been up year to date. Not as bad as we thought it was going to be. Rafael Lazzardi is the CFO of TI and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
Thank you. I say not as bad as we thought it was going to be. The last time we talked, I just did not have any sense of that you were positive about anything, that you saw sort of weakness across the board. Has that changed?
Well, you know, revenue did decrease 10% from the same quarter last year. But the difference is, one, it was better than expected, about 4 or 5% better. And inside of that, we're seeing signs of stabilization.
That's really good. And where's the stabilization? Is it because you operate all over the world? Over 80% of your revenues come offshore. Is it the world climate that's better?
Yeah, so with the exception of communications equipment that has its own unique dynamics, all end markets reduce the rate of decline. So, you know, so it's important to know that those markets are still declining, but they're declining at much lower rates. So, for example, automotive and industrial, which are the key markets that you know that are most important for us, last quarter they were declining about 8 or 9% year on year. This quarter they're declining 3 to 4% or so. So that's a significant improvement. That, of course, at some point, as you keep reducing that decline, eventually it turns into growth, right? Which is what we're looking for.
But it's hard to believe that there's a decline in automobile, because the whole idea of a smart car, not only whether it drives itself or not, but so automobile companies can do upgrades over the air instead of the cost, the expense associated with, you know, bringing cars in for recalls. I mean, that's got to be pushing them toward smart cars.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So let me maybe differentiate something for your listeners. You know, the long-term expectations for growth in auto and industrial has never changed, right? We're bullish about those end markets and continue to be. We're bullish about our position with those markets and our competitive advantages there. But in the semiconductor space, we're at the very end of the supply chain. So customers build and drain inventory, even if the end demand still continues to grow. And as that happens, sometimes we see above average growth, and then eventually that corrects, and that's when we go into inventory depletion that shows as negative growth. And we've been working through that. And the signs that we're seeing point to that depletion being mostly complete.
And so what you point out is the just-in-time aspect that's come to manufacturing, and you're at the end of the line.
Right, we're at the end of the line. And remember, it's not just the inventory ahead of us, in front of us. It's also our customers. You know, in many instances, there are three or four layers before we get to the true end customer, you know, the person buying a car at a dealer.
Are you going to be a major player in 5G? Because that's something we've been hearing about for a long time, and the sense is that this is the year that it sort of becomes reality.
Yeah, you know, for many years we've been saying that our sense of the comms equipment market, which includes 5G, is that on the digital space, there's really not going to be much more spending. In fact, if anything, that spending is shrinking. Where the spending is increasing is on the analog front. In order to get the spectral efficiency that 5G counts on to increase bandwidth, they're doing that with the antenna, and that's mainly with analog products. So we're excited about that, and we are very much a part of that on the analog front. Now, having said all that, what we're really excited about is industrial automotive, because that is more sustainable, is broader, is more diverse. So we think that is a better bet over the long haul.
All right, so some changes around here. You've had Dallas plant operating for over 50 years. Sherman also. You're closing those pretty soon, right?
Well, actually, we said no earlier than 2023 and no later than 2025. You know, so we're talking 3 to 5 years before that would happen. So that gives plenty of time, plenty of you know, advance notice to all the stakeholders to work through all those issues. So these are factories that are over 50 years old. They've done really well over that time. But, you know, at some point, it makes sense to shift that production to 300 millimeter, the more advanced wafer fabs.
And meanwhile, you're building in Richardson. Any sense of when that's going to be opening?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we've announced now, I think it was middle of last year, that we are building another factory in Richardson, a 300 millimeter factory. And for your listeners, you know, 300 millimeter is the latest and greatest advanced type of factory, just much more cost efficient than anything else. In fact, we're the only ones that have internal analog 300 millimeter capacity in the world. And we have two factories already that are 300 here in Dallas, and this would be the third one right there in Richardson. We are already, if you drive by, you'll see cranes and you see construction going on. We'll be done with the building by the end of 2021.
And then opening when the demand's there, I guess.
That's right. So, you know, the building, believe it or not, is the small expense. The bigger expense is actual equipment. So you build a building, we have it ready, and then equip it as needed, as demand requires it.
You know, one thing on everybody's mind right now is China and this virus outbreak. That, to some degree, it's shut down a lot of China. They've isolated, I think it last told some like 12 million people, and not allowing them to fly. And there was an outbreak, evidently one, at least one, identified in Singapore. We've seen it impact oil prices. Does this impact you?
Well, so we're, of course, keeping an eye on that very carefully for more than anything for employees, both the ones that are who are in China. We have many employees in China. We have a couple factories there. We have R&D. We have sales. But also for our employees outside of China who travel there. So we're keeping that, keeping a close eye on that. But as far as production or sales, there's no impact to that at this point.
Are they competitors to you? I mean, is it in a roundabout way, could this end up helping you?
We are not thinking about it that way. In fact, it's so early
on
that front.
Good quarter. Like I say, pleasant surprise, I think, to the street anyway on the earnings. And it's good you're seeing stabilization. And 3 months from now, I hope you're telling me about seeing some green shoots.
It'll be April, so we should have greener pastures.
Yeah, exactly. Rafael Lazzardi, CFO at Texas Instruments. We appreciate the time. For more of our conversation with Mr. Lazzardi, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.